Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as usual, is Patty.
Hello, everyone.
And today we're drinking Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. And this is their red blend aged in bourbon barrels in California. Not bad, I'd say.
Yeah, it's good. And Robert Mondavi, for most of you know, it's a very famous winemaker, and most of his wines are, you know, excellent, top-notch. And Woodbridge is kind of the everyday wine that, you know, it's more affordable, but it's still very good. And so what do you think about
this? I think it's affordable, but very good.
It is very good. And you can kind of get a sense of the bourbon-y taste in the wine. It definitely has that distinctive flavor, so... And I'm a big fan of red blends, so I'm liking this wine. Why are you giving me that look?
I thought you didn't like red blends.
I love them. I love them. And you know what? This kind of reminds me of, like, if you ever do mulled wine at Christmas, and you kind of blend an alcohol with a wine, and then you add spice to it. This kind of reminds me of that.
Is that what mulling is called?
Well, mulling is, I think, when you add spice and kind of warm it up.
I thought is when you thought something over.
Oh, that too. It's that too. But when you mull spice, there's certain spices called mulling spice. And you use them for apple cider and wine and things like that. And you know that. You're just messing with me.
No, I'm not.
You are too. Anyway, we probably have a history thing to talk about.
We do have a history thing to talk about on the History Podcast. Today we're talking about the infamous, horrifying incident known as the Dyatlov Pass incident. I do want to warn you, if you're a sensitive viewer, this may be a bit intense.
Okay.
Just warning you, this is your sensitivity warning. This is rated R.
You can opt out.
Opt out, indeed.
All right, so what happened at the Dyatlov Pass? Is it in America or is it somewhere else?
It took place in the Ural Mountains of Russia.
Mm.
In 1959, February 26, a search party was looking for their 9 missing hiker friends. The hikers are mostly college students. They were on a hiking trip in the mountains. They were all experienced hikers. And their friend Yuri Lyudin, who was part of their group, had to leave due to health problems. He was worried about them, and he had been the last to see them on January 28th. Now, the searchers were scouring the side of a mountain in the Urals, and the local Mansi people called it Kolat Sikal. That means the dead mountain. Ooh. And the surrounding region, literally called, little translation is, don't go there.
But of course, these people had to.
Yeah, well, they didn't speak Mansi, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
They found their large 12-person tent crumpled and collapsed. It had been abandoned, and their friends' belongings were left inside. Their coats, their skis, their maps, even some of their shoes.
Hmm.
And this made no sense.
So something probably made them take off.
Something. Now, every single of them was an expert hiker, and they were actually on this was their trip to get their equivalent of a master's certificate in hiking. This is called grade 3. In fact, one of them actually had one, but I'll get into that. Here's what's more disturbing. They had not left the entrance. The zipper for the entrance tent flap was still locked in position. They had cut their way out into the snow. It was winter. It's Russian winter. Experienced hikers, and they've also found 9 sets of footprints.
And how many hikers were there?
9.
Okay. Wow.
It gets weirder.
Okay.
It gets profoundly stranger.
Okay.
For instance, these were not panicked amateurs. The leader of their group, Igor Dyatlov, was very brave, very competent. For instance, on their trip, they were being charged by a herd of wild horses. So he had everyone go around in a circle, clump them in a circle, and the horses swerved around them because they thought it was a boulder.
Smart.
The other one, other mother man, Semyon Aleskevich Zolotarov was a highly decorated World War II veteran. And he had actually, he was part of an engineering unit. They wore lead breastplates, and all they did was fix things. Mm-hmm. And they would max out on medals. They got awarded so many medals, they would just kind of max out.
There was like no place to put
them. There was, you couldn't earn anymore. That's how dangerous their job was.
Wow.
He already had his master's certificate, his grade 3.
Okay, so he knew what he was doing.
All of them knew what they were doing. Him especially. Still, so, keep in mind, World War II veteran, experienced hikers, instead of leaving by the front door, saw something or heard something that scared them so much, they just cut their way out. Jeez. Leaving most of their shoes inside.
Ugh.
But the searchers were still confident they were going to find them. Because mm-hmm. they were so confident, how could they not survive? These people knew exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woods nearby. Let's go investigate the woods. The following day, they found the bodies of Yuri Doroshenko and Yuri Kivonyshenko. They were wearing only their underwear and were near the remains of a fire. Both of them were covered in bruises and light abrasions. And Doroshenko, his upper lip looked like it had been punched in the face. His right temple and foot had been burned.
Ew.
And Kiryashenko was found with cuts and bruises and a bite mark from his own teeth in his fist. Like he had bitten himself to stifle a scream.
Wow.
He was also badly burned in some places. It looked like they had climbed a nearby tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some debate whether they climbed it to get away from something
mm-hmm.
or climbed it to see where the tent was.
Okay. But we know they... How did they know they were up in a tree?
Oh, they found broken branches up about five meters. 5 meters is about 15 feet. Oh,
okay.
And there were scratches all on their arms that were consistent with them climbing.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Now, then they found Dyatlov 300 meters from the cedar tree.
Okay.
And his watch stopped at 5:31 a.m. He also had minor cuts and bruises everywhere. He was missing one of his teeth, and he looked like he'd been in a fight.
Okay.
Like he'd been punching someone or something. Then Kolmogora... She was the pretty one. I'm going to pronounce her name wrong.
She was the pretty
one. She was. She was very... All of them were bright, funny, happy people, too.
Yeah.
Komogorova. And she was 630 meters from the tree, and she had a long bruise in the lumbar region of her back, like she'd been hit by a rifle butt or a stick.
Okay.
And she died. She also died. They all of those people had died from hypothermia exposure.
Okay.
And they studied all of their journals to see if there was any like friction, like because now it sounds like maybe they got into a fight or something.
Yeah.
They were all close friends. They all cared about even the standoffish one mm-hmm. had a sense of humor and was mm-hmm. a good friend. They were all they all crazy about each other.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my initial thought. Somebody went nuts. That was attacked what them. And attacked them all.
But they all cared about each other. Even Zolotarov, he was a stranger to them.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't part, but they loved him too. They were all friendly. These are not like mean, nasty Russians or anything. Mm-hmm. They're all super nice,
okay.
Kind people. So there was none. They were all close friends. And then there was Slobodin, who was found wearing footwear and had a fractured skull. But he also died from hypothermia. So they had all died, like they were leaving and went in the direction of the tent. Probably what happened was they had left, climbed up, and three people had left. We're going to bring the tent supplies back for everyone.
Okay.
Then, 2 months later, 35 meters away from the cedar tree, they found the other bodies in a small ravine. It was on May 5th they were uncovered. They were better dressed, and only one of them died from hypothermia. They also found a den inside the ravine, like they were setting up to live there for a little while.
Okay.
Kilovatov was the only person who died from hypothermia, but he had a broken nose and a damaged neck.
Wait, you said he was the only person?
Only one that died of hypothermia.
Oh, that one that didn't die.
That did die of hypothermia.
Oh, I thought you said everyone died of
hypothermia. In the ravine.
Oh,
in
gotcha.
The
okay. ravine. All right, I understand now.
Now, Zolotarov, he was the World War II, he was found being embraced by, like, they were trying to, like, he was trying to keep Kolotarov warm.
Aww.
Now, Zolotarov died from a crushing injury to his ribs.
Okay.
But actually, they actually was really disturbing is on Kolotov's body, the guy who died from hypothermia, some of his clothing was found to be slightly radioactive.
What?
It gets even weirder. Okay. Zolotov's body had been crushed, like all of the ribs on his upper right hand side had been destroyed, broken. And it looked like he'd been in a car accident, but there was no bruising consistent with car accidents.
Oh, wow.
Like, they were, like, some sources said it looked like the damage was internally done somehow.
Crazy.
Now, he also had a nasty gash on his head, and part of his skull had been exposed.
Okay, so I have a question.
Answer.
So after you die, your blood, you know, stops pumping. Mm-hmm. So let's just say you're already dead, and then someone crushes your ribs. You wouldn't necessarily have bruising. I mean, I'm not.
That's true, but no, he died from the rib crushing.
Oh, okay.
That's what killed him in the autopsies.
Okay.
So he had the nasty gash on his head, and his skull had been exposed, but that was not what killed him.
Okay.
He was also found clutching a pen and paper, like he was going to write down what had happened to explain, but he hadn't written anything down.
Ooh.
Now, Throbo Brignoles was found nearby. He was dead from a powerful blow to the skull.
Jeez. Now,
Dubinana, this move made him unable to move, but they dragged him to there. Now, Dubinana's body was found near the other three. She also had all but 8 of her ribs gone, shattered. And her clothing was also radioactive. And there was little bits of radiation found all throughout Dyatlov Pass. Now, further investigation found that the locals and the hikers had seen 3 glowing orbs in the sky the night of the incident.
What?
And I think there's even a picture of it. What? Like they stepped outside to take a picture of it, and they found because they found the picture on the camera they had.
What?
One eyewitness said the bodies had a deep brown tan.
Oh.
Now, between the lack of evidence, the Soviet cover-up, and the strangeness of the deaths, this has snowballed into one of the greatest mysteries of all time. One of the greatest unsolved mysteries of all time.
Oh, sure. It would have been Soviet Union days then.
Now, there's so much information, by the way. I could have, like, I know, you know, we're at about 13 minutes. But I could have gone on for an hour on this alone.
And the reason, why don't you?
Because I want you guys to look into it.
So it's not the abominable snowman.
Maybe. There's even a picture. There's a picture of someone dressed up as one in their photos they found.
Really?
Yeah. It gets even weirder. Because the more they keep investigating. Like, oh, it must have been an avalanche. That would explain all the broken ribs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No. The incline was only 3 degrees, not enough to cause a nasty avalanche. And where they were, Dyatlov and Zolotov, the veteran, would have said, no, that's a dangerous avalanche site. We can't go there.
Sure.
So, and it's just, and their injuries are not consistent with avalanches. Nothing about this makes any sense. The radiation, the deep brown tan, and it's just 3 orbs in the sky. What?
UFOs.
UFOs, possibly. None of it makes any sense.
Wow, it doesn't. Wow, it's too bad that guy didn't get a chance to kind of jot some notes down, like what happened.
Little green men from Mars.
So has anyone gone hiking in that pass?
Yes, so people go all over that. And here's where it gets. They say, okay, this must have been the local Monsi people. Mm-hmm. And the Monsi people are like, no. And they did an autopsy on the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They went, oh no, this is not consistent with hand-to-hand. I mean, there's the one fist fight maybe. But this is not what the Mansi would have done. They would have killed everyone, and it just didn't make any sense. That so okay, isn't an avalanche? Isn't and then the Mansi people came back and started looking for evidence to help the investigators.
Okay.
And the Mansi people were like, yeah, we call this area "Don't Go Here" for a reason. It's bad. It's a bad place.
Why have they found it to be bad in the past.
Well, the Dead Mountain is called the Dead Mountain. That's because there's no game there.
Oh,
and okay. Don't go there. I can't remember if it was an evil spirit or just bad juju, but that's why they say don't go there. I've not read a book, but I'm going to read a book called The Dead Mountain by Donnie Iger. Mm-hmm. It goes into all of this in great detail.
Okay.
And I encourage you to read that book too. I didn't want to splay everything out for everyone. I wanted to pique your guys' interest so you would go into this just as much, go deep just as deep as I am.
Well, it sure is interesting.
I've been fascinated by this. There's movies based off of this, video games, dozens of books. You know, it's become their version of the JFK assassination because no one knows what really happened.
Wow. And so now that it's not the Soviet Union anymore, have the Russians been able to find anything out that might
they
have been
They did a 2015
up?
Investigation. My plan is to come back to this because there's so many details. Like, okay. There's so many details. Like, Dubananov, the last person found, Dubanana. It looked like her tongue had been removed while she was alive.
Oh, not good.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that would be awful.
Yeah, so it's just there's I've skipped some details on purpose here, guys.
So it could have been a psycho killer, maybe, hiding out in the...
Up against a decorated 9 people, and several of whom had combat experience, one of whom was a badass war veteran.
Maybe he had the element of surprise.
That's a possibility, but not, man, it just, maybe it was, you know.
And the tans.
The radioactiveness. That made me think it's some kind of Soviet super weapon that they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That could be.
Maybe it was supernatural. Maybe it was both.
Yeah.
Maybe they saw something supernatural, ran out of there, and interacted with some sort of radiation poison that the Soviets were doing.
Huh.
I don't know. I could, like, when in doubt, when I research things, and I, because I love these unexplainable mysteries and crazy situations, it seems like everything happens. And when I read all this stuff over and over again, guys, it would not surprise me. I'm not deeply into the supernatural, but if something like supernatural occurred, and then something, and then they ran into a Soviet super weapon, that wouldn't surprise me, just because how things go foobar so often in real life.
Yeah. Well, it was during the height of the Cold War, so it's
59.
Entirely possible. Yeah, the Russians were working on some thing.
They didn't
know
the kids were there. They shot it off.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't know there. Maybe they were like, oh, look, test subjects.
Yeah.
They were pretty ruthless.
That's true.
The Lubyanka was literally just a constant killing machine. They had a conveyor belt of, but that's the problem with the communist government is we probably will never know what actually happened.
Yeah.
There's actually so much more to this case. I want to do another episode. I want to do a part 2 on the actual follow-up and investigation.
Well, can you give us a little hint about the follow-up investigation if we don't do a part 2? Like, what is like a rational theory, like a 21st
century? Well, they keep coming up with these theories, and they keep going, wait, that doesn't make sense either.
They just can't figure
it out. A hurricane. Maybe it was a hurricane. I don't know.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah, it could have been some sort of freak avalanche that came at a weird angle and hit them right as... But here's the thing. They ran out of the tent, and their footprints suggested that they ran out scared, came back together, and calmly walked down to the fire.
Okay.
So if it was an avalanche, you're not calmly walking down to anything. You're like, run a roll, run a roll, run a roll.
So something happened
in that
tent.
It's still a mystery for a reason.
Right. Something happened in that tent that made them want to just cut their way out, mm-hmm. like get up, like maybe there was, okay, let's just say poison gas. All of a sudden, oh my God. Poison gas, we gotta get out now. Boom, cut
your
way out.
Some sort of radiation gas.
Or radiation, yeah. We gotta get out now. Everyone out. Psh, cut your way out. Whew, okay, we got out. Now, we can't go back in there because it's all radioactive and poison. We gotta leave our stuff there, our shoes, everything. Let's regroup at this place.
Yeah, that's what they think happened. But what was it that caused them to flee so badly?
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, it's... there's dozens of theories. It gets super interesting.
It's fascinating. I want
all of you to investigate on yourself.
You have an assignment,
people. You have an assignment. This is your homework from Professor Max. But part of the investigation was they did everything they could think of.
Yeah.
And there are a couple times, though, in the investigation, the investigators are like, okay. They even wanted to find out if any of the women were sexually active to see if that caused any friction. To my knowledge, none of them were. That's how deep they went into this. And eventually, the Soviet government said, you got to clear this up, buddy.
Wow.
You don't need to know some of this stuff. I believe at one point they stepped in and said, stop it. Stop investigating.
Really? Interesting.
Now, it could have been just for propaganda reasons. It could have been because they knew what happened there.
That could be.
Their pet Yeti got out.
Their pet Yeti caused a little trouble.
Mm-hmm. So
we're going to wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it up now. Thank you all so much for listening. Instead of, I haven't done the book review yet. I'll tell you what happened. I reached out to the author of My Uncle Al Capone, and my hope is to get an interview. Now, she's a busy woman, especially with that movie that just came out probably, but I'm hoping to get an interview with her. And then things have calmed down a little bit with the coronavirus. So I think we'll be back on a normal, steady schedule of me scrambling to get things ready. But is there anything you want to study? Anything
wonderful... Oh, who, me? I'll have to do a little scrambling myself and try to figure something out. I'm sure there is.
We do have a Twitter page, guys. We do take recommendations. I know some people love our Explorer series. Some people love when we delve into gangsters. I like the Explorers the most, too. Yeah. So,
gangsters are fun.
Gangsters are always fun.
Yeah, all right.
Shoot us a recommendation. Our favorite subject, you might keep in mind, our favorite subject is people who have been abandoned by history, orphaned by time. Someone who we should know about, but don't. I am always happy to free those people from oblivion.
Yeah.
And tell their stories.
Yep. I love that.
So.
All right. So that'll do it. Thanks for listening, as always.
And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.